This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Economics like nothing else. As I say, to paraphrase the old chestnut, you may not be interested in Wall Street, but Wall Street is interested in you. Americans have been reduced to consumers. Our only value to society is insofar as we're able to consume goods and services. This is the environment we're talking about, money as an ecology. The sooner we recognize this fact, the better we will be able to address the global warming situation that has created climate collapse that we're currently bearing witness to. We are trying to reach Catherine Austin Fitz, and we will have her on the line in just a few moments. We may want to take a minor musical break while that interview is set up. As we wait to see what is going to transpire, we're going to continue talking about this, perhaps applying some of the algorithms that are derived from climate problems to economic problems. In other words, viewing the way our current economy is structured. If we take some of those algorithms and map them onto the problems, then we do stand some remote chance of reclaiming our role as citizens rather than simply as long as we cling to being consumers only. I think that we aren't going to begin to approach addressing the problem of the discrepancy between the very, very wealthy and the rest of those who create the wealth. Catherine is on the line right now. Good morning, and thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, good morning.
We are so happy to have you with us today. The Illahi Lecture Series is coming up. It is, of course, Earth Day, and it is apparent that our economy has been seriously hijacked, and the gulf between the wealthy and everyone else seems to increase day by day. The problem of reclaiming our financial world, I think that as I said, mentioned in the introduction, is the Occupy Wall Street, if nothing else, indeed focused the left and the progressive community's attention on the world of finance and economics. So There's a start there. The Solari Report, all the work that you've done, though, is in this direction. Can you talk a little bit about how we got to where we are and how we are going to dig ourselves out?
Well, I call it the financial coup d'etat. A decision was made in the early 90s to centralize wealth and really centralize political and economic control. And I should say, I don't believe we have an economic problem. We have a political problem. So we're governed by a system that is not wholly clear. Glenn Greenwald calls it the one-way mirror. They can see us, we can't see them. And so you have a small group of people centralizing wealth, and the important thing to understand about it is in a way that destroys wealth. The problem is the pie shrinking, not just that it's centralizing, and of course it's damaging to living things in many respects. And the interesting thing is if you look at our individually, if you look at our households, if you look at how we earn it or generate an income, and if you look at how we donate money or spend our time or give our attention or deposit at banks or invest in stocks or participate in pension funds or 401ks that invest in stocks, what's very interesting is we're all financing it. And we're all choosing to give it attention and to support it. So it's a centralized system that gets its power from us, and we keep giving it our power. If you come to one of the reasons I started the Solari Report was I felt it was so important for each person to have a map of how the world worked that would help them make good, optimal choices. So it's not my job to tell you what your purpose is in life, but to give you a map that helps you get there and hopefully gets there in a way which builds wealth not only for you and your family, but for your whole community. So we need to start, instead of participating in a win-lose economy, we need to start participating more in a win-win. And how do we get to that? And that's obviously, it's a simple concept, but it's a complex, you know, implementation day to day. So if you come to my blog, our theme, we have every year, we have a theme on the Solaria Report, and our theme this year is Coming Clean. And think of this as like a, have you ever done a detox program? It's a little bit like a detox program. You get the toxins out of your mind, you get them out of your body, you get them out of your wallet, and then you you try and build your immune system and make yourself stronger. And so that's our theme for the year. And, of course, in the Solaria Report, we talk a lot about the details of how to do that. But let me give you a simple one, because a couple years ago, when I started doing this publicly, you know, I made the mistake of trying to stop the housing bubble and then warn people about it, only to learn that nobody was interested. They thought they're going to make so much money in the bubble. Anyway, but I put three things up on my blog. I said, eat fresh food, turn off your TV, bank local. Now, it sounds like a stupid little, you know, threesome. If everybody did it, it would make an enormous difference, just enormous difference. I can't tell you what it would mean if every bank that was engaging in, you know, sort of highly speculative markets, derivatives and predatory and illegal behavior, if every bank depositor said, you know, we want nothing to do with that. You know, we're not, and we've let ourselves be lulled into accepting all sorts of bad behavior because we save, you know, we save 50 cents on an ATM fee, or we think government guarantees are going to protect us. And, of course, we know that the events in Cyprus was a wake-up call that said, you know, maybe those government guarantees aren't what you thought.
Well, it seems that the nation, and in many ways, and I hate to make these sweeping generalizations, but it is a nation of consumers, not citizens. People seem apparently to be citizens of themselves and not citizens of communities. And it appears to me that exactly what you're talking about, viewing our economic life as an organism, it what you are suggesting and what is evident in Solaria Report at every turn is that viewing our finances and the way we've allowed the economy to restructure itself to direct wealth to the top, these would not, as in living organisms, they wouldn't be living for long.
Right. And so what we need to do is we need to realign the financial ecosystems with the living ecosystems. Mm-hmm. You know, life and money need to become friends and give each other energy. And that's in fact, the problem with the current model is it's destroying wealth. And it's a model where the living ecosystems and the financial ecosystems work in harmony as one that builds wealth. So obviously, that's where we need to go. And the $64,000 question that we're all struggling with is, who's running things and why are they behaving this way? You know, because it's a mystery. One of the things, the challenge, you know, I'm a business person, and one of the big things when you're in business is your model, your business model. And, you know, we've had on planet Earth for 500 years a investment and economic model called central banking warfare. The central banks print money, and then the military makes sure, you know, the right people take them. And that model has to change. And that's a very big, deep, not only business and economic change and government change, but cultural change and spiritual change. And, you know, because we've, in America, we talk about how we love democracy, but we finance our economic blessings by running around the world and killing everybody else. So if we're going to globalize, what's done to one is done to all. And so there needs to be a rebalancing of the economy, and there needs to be a new model. And that's why I think what Ilahi does is so important, which is, you know, they bring people together and they have the conversation, because if everybody's doing the tango, it's very hard to just flip a switch and everybody starts doing the waltz. You know, and if everybody's doing the tango and you start doing the waltz, well, that can, you know, you can get your foot stepped on. So that's why it's so important that we have these ways of coming together and saying, you know, what's going on and what can we do about it? And what can we do about it which is energizing for us? Because I'm a great believer. You know, to me, the problem, Chris, is that most people are being harvested. Their time, their money, their health is being debased. We need ways of changing this that are, you know, are net energy plus to me. I'm a big believer in put your oxygen mask on first. So we need to reduce the drain on us individually and do so in a way that makes it easier for everybody around us to do the same.
I really think too that when the coming clean, what I got out of that in many ways was that one fundamental way of sparking this change is viewing financial markets and the economy as ecosystems, and approaching sort of a healing process by applying ideas from the sustainability movement, the so-called green movement, to these things. We have just a couple of minutes. We have about a minute and a half left. If you can wrap this up for listeners. We really needed more time for this, I'm afraid. But the Ilahians Institute has Electric McCatherine Austin Fitz is speaking on taking back control over our finances.
Uh-huh.
And that's coming up on Wednesday evening, 7, at the usual spot.
I've done one once before. They're great lectures, but then, you congregate in the back and... It was one of the richest discussions I've ever had. We had last time. We went on and on. It was wonderful. So come and listen to the lecture, ask questions, but then gather afterwards for rich discussions.
Thank you so much for that. The Ilahian Institute lectures, I've always said they're not lectures, they're events. There's something, something way more.
I think they're invention rooms.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I've been speaking, of course, with Catherine Austin Fitz with the Solari Report, and Coming Clean is definitely an eye-opener. This has been Ekaskadia for Monday, April 22nd, 2013. Kate Welch, thank you so much for engineering the show today. Kathleen Stevenson is a KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned.
This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Merrillhurst University, the University for Grown-Ups, where it's never too late to earn a bachelor's or master's degree to achieve your dreams. Adults of all ages choose Merrillhurst to gain knowledge from professors who practice what they teach. Now enrolling for fall term. Information at merrillhurst.edu/KABU.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or WilkinCPAS.com.
Good morning and welcome to Locus Focus. I'm Barbara Bernstein, your host for this weekly conversation about our place on the planet. Before I introduce our guest this morning, I need to at least reference the gruesome events that began to unfold last week shortly after the end of this show. For me, it's been a week of dreadful and confusing contradictions. First came the terror of the bombings in Boston on Monday, amplified by incredibly inept, inaccurate, and sensational media coverage, which only heightened our anxiety. Then on Wednesday, a fertilizer plant in West Texas exploded, wreaking more deaths, injuries, and damage than Monday's bombings. While the country was abuzz about the terrorist connections to the Boston bombings, the media in general overlooked the equally terrorist-like threats posed by the lack of oversight and regulation of our chemical, oil, and gas infrastructure, which, as we saw, can easily explode with the intensity of terrorist bombs. My feelings are summed up by several postings I saw online over the weekend. Let's send the Boston police, the SWAT team, and the National Guard after the bankers who destroyed our economy and the CEOs of the oil, gas, and chemical companies who resist government regulation and oversight purely because of greed, and let them go hide in a boat. Well, now we're going to turn to a slightly more upbeat topic. This morning on Locust Focus, we celebrate Earth Day in the company of our four-legged best friends. When nature writer Ted Carasotti was ready for a new puppy, he wanted to find out how it was possible to give his new dog the longest and healthiest life possible. Traveling the world and interviewing breeders, veterinarians, and leaders of the animal welfare movement, he's pulled together the latest research in his new book, Pucka's Promise, The Quest for Longer-Lived Dogs, to help us rethink the everyday choices we make for our furry companions. This morning, Ted joins us, along with my dog, Karina, who's been here at the station ever since she was about 8 weeks old, joining me every week for the show. And we're going to talk about how raising a dog with consciousness is an environmental issue. Ted, welcome to Locust Focus.
Thanks very much, Barbara, for having me on the show, and thanks, Karina, too.
Yes, well, she actually chose you as the guest, so because I don't generally do dog shows, but since Karina's been accompanying me since she was a puppy on this show, and she's a very good silent program host, as opposed to my last dog, who I couldn't bring because she barked every time anybody walked near her, so she was not a good radio dog. But anyway, let's start by talking about the title of your book, or the subtitle, The Quest for Longer-Lived Dogs. What is that all about?
Well, I think as many of us who have lived with dogs realize pretty soon is that they don't live as long as we do. And when we fall in love with this member of another species, it seems criminal that they only live 10 or 15 years. And so when I published a book about my previous dog, Merle, Merle's Door, Lessons from a Free-Thinking Dog, I was heartbroken when he passed away at 14 years old. Many readers who read that book wrote me emails.